You have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12. We're looking at verses 10 through 12 in the time remaining that we have. Last week we began a series that I'm going to just kind of talk a little bit about, but what I really want to talk about is today is this great thought of what God arms us with in this world. To live above the fray, to see the victory of God moving through our lives in a very, very meaningful way for you and me. You know, there's the overwhelming theme of Scripture is about salvation, is it not? It's about God saving a people. And the overwhelming theme of salvation is about overcoming. It's the promise that we saw last week in John chapter 16, verse 33, when Jesus said, "In the world, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." We talked last week about these three certainties. Number one, Jesus has spoken to you and me to give us peace. Number two, tribulation is not going away. Trouble is not going away in this life. Trial is not going away in this life. The difference is that we get to live overcoming lives because Jesus himself has overcome the world. It's the promise of God. What's so wonderful about the gospel, and so wonderful we talked about last week when the Holy Spirit who helps our weaknesses is that he helps together with us. He does this work in us and we get to move along with him. And so this theme in the gospel, this theme, especially in John's writings about overcoming, is powerful. We in Christ, we overcome. Just kind of let go of Revelation for a minute. We'll go back to it. But go to 1 John, just a few pages back, and look at some of these passages of Scripture about overcoming. 1 John, verse chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who's been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because, watch, you have overcome the evil one. And I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who's been from the beginning. And I've written to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one." Go to chapter 4, verse 4, if you would, just for a moment. The Bible says, "You are from God, little children, and you have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Amen? I'm writing these things to you. There's this assumption, there's this certainty that we overcome because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" This is the overwhelming theme of John in John's gospel, John's writings, and then when you move into Revelation, of all the places that speak of overcoming. Now, I'm not talking about an overcoming where there's no more trial and there's no more tribulation. We're just like our sister said earlier, we're leaning into the hard. We're leaning into the difficult. We're leaning into the tribulation, into the trial, into the weaknesses, so that we might depend on God, the overcomer who lives in our lives, to do just that. Think about overcoming in the sense of, God, I don't know what to do here. In this situation, I don't have understanding about what's going on. I need the understanding. It's the thought of overcoming in the midst of temptation. It's the thought of overcoming in the midst of the trial so that we're not bearing the trial in such a way that God is not bearing the trial. This is overcoming. It's not about a people who have no problems and no struggles or no weaknesses. It's about a God who empowers us with this great gospel to overcome with faith and continue to persevere leaning into him. It's the promise of Scripture. And the question that I want to just talk to you about is found in Revelation in this chapter about overcoming. How does that happen and what does that look like? And so in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, Scripture says, Then, verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, because the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, watch, because first of all of the blood of the Lamb, of what Jesus did at the cross. And then they overcome him because of the word of their testimony. And then they overcame him because they did not love their life even when faced with death. Three things John's writing about overcoming in the midst of tribulation and trial and struggle. I want to just testify by our brother and sister's testimony of all the difficulties and of all the trials and of all the hard times through Christ, they overcame. And that's not to be proud about it. It's just a certainty that you and I are promised victory in so many areas of life that we seem to fall short in. Their faith has been strengthened. They're more like Jesus. They've given testimony of the grace of God. Why? How? Well, first of all, he says because of the blood. Because of the blood of the Lamb. And when we think about the blood of the Lamb, first of all, I think about the cross, the sacrifice, the sacrificial obedience of Jesus who died in your place and my place, substituted. And we know that because John the Baptist, as John the disciple would write in John chapter 1 verse 29 and 36, when he looks at Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then he'll say it again, behold, the Lamb of God. This God who would become flesh, who we would behold his glory, would die on a wooden cross, shedding his blood for your salvation and mine, for our salvation. And it's just more than that. It's just more than making it to heaven. It's more than just getting there. I mean, the thought of the blood of Jesus, when I think about it in terms of the cross, the sacrificial substitutionary death of Jesus, or how the blood redeemed you. He redeemed you. Notice 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Jesus. We're here because of that blood, because of the cross and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It's the good news that our God came, became man, and suffered and died for you and for me so that we might be redeemed. It's the purchase price of God buying you back. That's the promise. God buying you back, purchasing you by his blood. And that's what it means. It means to repurchase, to buy back, to rescue, to pay the penalty. I love what one guy said a long time ago. He says this redemption, or to redeem, means to rescue and deliver from the bondage of sin and the penalties of God's violated law by obedience and suffering in the place of the sinner, or by doing and suffering that which is accepted in lieu of the sinner's obedience. Wow. This God who died for me, it's the basis of victory. First over death, where he says, death, where is your sting? And then the victory that you and I get to walk in this life. None of us in this place today are free from trial. Is that right? One of the things that I'm talking about with people when they ask about my family and ask about the things going on in my life, this is my thought. I just shared this with Mike today. I'm just trying with God, by God's strength, to find a rhythm that I'm finding emotional and spiritual health as I move toward this glory, and as John and I move to this season of our life with aging parents and things that just come with age, a rhythm of God's glory, a rhythm of God's power, a rhythm of God's peace, a rhythm in the midst of things, even if they do not change. Even if they don't change. This blood redeemed you. He says, from a futile way of life. And if you're in this place today, or if you're listening online, or if you're listening later down the line, and you find that your life is futile, that you feel like it's futile, I tell you, Jesus redeemed you from a futile way of life. There's no futility in Christ. There's no futility in obedience. There's no futility in faith. There's just not. There's power in it. There's God's glory in it. And this is what he did. He said, I didn't purchase you with silver or gold. I didn't purchase you with gold doubloons or silver change. I purchased you with the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. It's the basis of our victory to be able to say that the enemy's defeated because of the blood. The foot of God has come down and crushed his head, and now he comes to dwell within our lives as the Holy Spirit comes, as we talked last week, to help in our weakness and to intercede for us according to the will of God. Knowing that everything that's happening because we love God and we're called according to this great purpose, everything is working out for our good. Working out for these purposes. But the way we overcome is because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of the blood of the Lamb. And he redeemed us. And I mean, the Bible says that not only did by the blood you were redeemed, but by the blood he cleanses and forgives you. Hebrews 9:14, the blood of Christ cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You know, it's interesting because in this passage of Scripture, when he says now salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, why? The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. The accuser of the brethren. Who is that? It's Satan. He dealt with your sin in such a way that the accuser of the brethren, has no right to accuse you of anything. I can't tell you how many times we deal with people who still struggle with guilt and still struggle with shame and still struggle with guilt and still struggle with shame over things that God has dealt with in your redemption and my redemption. But what does the enemy do? Accuses. Speaks to you about your past failures, speaks to you about your past sin, your past struggle, speaks to you, accuses you. He said, listen, this guy has been thrown down. He has no authority. That by the blood of Jesus, he has cleansed you and forgiven you and redeemed you. And what's so great about this great God is that not only does that, but he makes you right with him. The Bible calls it justified. He justified you. He made you right. He made you at one with him by the blood of Jesus. This is our confidence. This is the confidence that God gives to us when we're facing trial, when we're facing things, when we go into the world to share this good news, that we are armed with this thought of what God's blood and what the cross accomplished for you and me. And I'm going to tell you, we need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded. As a matter of fact, Peter even says, hey, I'm going to share some things with you that I've already shared with you. And I'm going to keep on reminding you of this, that you were purchased, you were redeemed by the Lamb of God, God's Lamb who shed his blood for you. And I think about this whole thought of overcoming, because I think about the justification. I think about God making a way that we have access to the Father. Hebrews 10:19 says that we have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus shed for our sin. It's what we're telling people, that there is forgiveness, there is redemption. It's what we're telling people who are living futile lives. It's what we tell the honey. It's what we tell our friends. It's what we tell the people around us when we share life, that this is the story of God, that he died for you and for me to redeem us and justify us and give us access to the presence of God, to move in our lives in such a way that we find this victory by the blood of Christ. And I want you to notice, as the blood of the Lamb secures the victory where Christ died for you and me, and this enemy is defeated as I walk by faith this out. And he calls it the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. A couple weeks ago, I was looking at this passage of Scripture, and I asked the question of Mike Fritcher, your pastor, when's the last time you shared the word of your testimony? I'm talking about me. The word of your testimony of who God was, is, what God did in your life, and how your life's been changed since. When's the last time you shared that with someone who was lost? Your testimony, if you've come to Christ, is threefold. My life before, how I came to him, and my life since. Simple. It's the testimony. You know, it's interesting when you look at testimony, it's the same word group of witness we find in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. If you notice, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? My witnesses. My testifiers. My witnesses who share testimony, the word of the testimony of your life, of who God is and what he did and what he's done since. And he says, listen, you'll be my witnesses when the Spirit of God comes upon you. You will witness, you will give witness to the greatness of God, the greatness of his name, the greatness of his work, the greatness of his salvation from the beginning of time till right now in your life, my life. When's the last time I gave witness like that? He says that you'll be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and then Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Word of your testimony. It's what I say as I confess with my mouth, and it's how I believe and it's how I live. And I'm going to ask you, when's the last time? When is the last time? I've noticed in my life that as I think about the blood of the Lamb and as I give testimony and give witness on a consistent basis, I find, I just I'll tell you, it's just the experience of just finding a greater freedom and a greater liberty and a greater power over the enemy's taunts and temptations and accusations and the things that we're talking about. Why? Because we're given witness. That's what we're designed to do. It's why we were created, to point to this great God who's done this great work. And the Bible says that's how we overcome, by giving witness and giving testimony. It's not by just straining and saying, I don't know if I could get through this day. I got to get through this day. I got to get through this worry. I got to get through this sexual temptation. I got to get through this greed. I got to get through this anger. I got to get through all of this. We seem so desperate. And yet he just says, listen, you overcome by the blood of Jesus, who cleansed you from all that. And then you give testimony of that. And then you move through life willing to die for it. He says, listen, they overcame because they did not love their life even unto death. They didn't love their carton even to death. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about just this thought of loving to be right more than loving making it right. Remember that? And you know, to love means that I had to take up my cross and follow him. And that means the crucified life by which I give up the ways of this world and the ways of my life to live the ways of God. Why? Because I love him more and I love his way more than I love my ways. I want you to bow with me in prayer, okay? In the world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Take courage. I've overcome the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. They overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, because they do not love their life even unto death. And whether it's trouble and whether it's persecution and whether it's hardship, we continue to keep our eyes on him. And folks, it's a life willing to go anywhere and to do anything God asks you to do, even in the midst of danger so great that it could actually take your life. It's the transforming work of God. It's where you love God even unto death. It's where you love God more than sin, yourself, your stuff, your things, and your comfort and your ease. You love it more than retirement. And you love God even if it brings you to martyrdom, which is the literal word for witness and testimony, the word of your martyrdom. And this is the gospel God arms us with. This is the good news. And I ask the question, am I living that today? Because my God, my Jesus, our Jesus promised that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be witnesses. You will testify, and you'll testify in your life and in your marriage and your children and you'll and in the way you raise your children, the way you do life, wherever you may go. When's the last time you shared God's story in your story to someone who's been lost? This is not a be guilty service. That's the last thing I want to do. I just want to ask, are you sharing the word of your testimony? A testimony that says my life's been changed by the blood of Jesus in faith, and my life's no longer the same, and I'm willing to die for it. I'm willing to die for it. And so my first invitation is to ask for examination and to ask the question, am I giving witness to the love, to the glory, the compassion, the forgiveness, the power of God in my life? Am I reflecting him in all that I do? As a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as a dad, as a mom, as a son, as a daughter, in my job. So I'm around people in church and church life. Am I giving witness to the greatness of our God? And then the challenge is today to say, you really don't need me to tell you a whole lot about that. You know what to do to get up from this place with this great commitment, resolve, and dependency on the Spirit of God to be the witness God wants you to be in this season of your life. That's what I pray for you today, that you give witness. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, finish up. I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. Okay, is that right? Verse 6. And we'll finish this and we'll do our blessing and we'll go fellowship with the Bentleys. Let's look at verse 6. The righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord, or as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will never be disappointed. And there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a proclaimer? And how will they proclaim unless they're sent? And just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Folks, this is the gospel. Based on the blood, as I share life, and as I love not my life even to death, this is what we are armed with to go to whatever place we go to, beginning today, beginning tomorrow, that this is the authority of Jesus in our lives, that this is the power of the witness of Christ, that I, by the blood of Jesus, not by my own merit, not by my own power, but by the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of God who comes upon me to give witness by the word of our testimony. And loving God and loving our neighbor and loving one another more than I love this. It's a journey of promise. Amen. Well, let's stand together, okay? We're going to go eat, celebrate this gospel. I just say to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, lift up his countenance to you, and give you peace right now, right here. And my prayer is that he'll guard your going out and your coming back, your coming in, wherever you're going and whenever you return back to your place, or wherever you play, your place of worship, or this place here, that God would guard you, protect you. And I pray that this peace you'll bring as a part of the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's go eat.